Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all and welcome to the program. Today we'll be looking at Luke 13, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. And we'll be diving deep into the Word of God. So welcome to the program, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. And before we get into God's Word, let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that your Word will come true in our lives, that we'll understand it, we'll believe it, we'll act on it, and we'll glorify your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at the passage. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 21. Then he, Jesus, said, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches. And he again said, 'To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened.'" Okay, so what's being talked about here? The first thing is fairly obvious. Jesus is trying to explain the kingdom of God to people who didn't understand the kingdom of God. That's you and I. And he knows heaven because he came from heaven. And he knows the kingdom of God because he's the walking, talking example of the kingdom of God. So he's trying to explain how the kingdom of God operates, and how it's different from the kingdoms of the world and the way in which they operate. Now, kingdoms of this world operate with guns, and they operate with tanks and lots of money and spectacular and large institution and kings and pompousness and all sorts of things that the empires of this world do. And he's saying, well, it's not like that. You've got to change the way you think about ministry. You've got to change the way you think about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God, it's not like the kingdom of this world. In fact, in John chapter 18, when Jesus is talking to Pilate, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world, otherwise my servants would be fighting." So it's not an imperial kingdom. So Jesus is trying to change the way we dial in on church and ministry and so on and so forth. And he's trying to say, well, it's really different. God does things in different ways from what you would expect. And he uses these two parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. Now, the next thing I have to say by way of introduction is these are what we call similes. What is the kingdom of God like? So Jesus is explaining it using an example. He's racking his brain and he's saying, well, what's it like? How can I explain it to these people? They don't know anything. So he's using these examples. And we don't need to take them too literally. Yes, we need to get the inner core of what Jesus is saying. But we don't want to think that the kingdom of God is exactly like a mustard seed or exactly like leaven. Jesus is just comparing them to these things so we can grow in our understanding of how God works and how the kingdom of God works and the way in which we should think about ministry. And that's something that you and I need to understand before we go off and we become bombastic and just like the kingdoms of this world. We don't want a ministry that's focused on our glory. We don't want a ministry that doesn't change lives and which costs millions of dollars to sustain, like some of the old dead ministries have, and I'm not going to name any, but you know the type. They consume a lot of money and they have big buildings, and everyone inside those buildings is just the same as when they went in, but it's comfortable. So we don't want that kind of a ministry. We want a God ministry. We want a Holy Spirit ministry where people are healed, they're delivered, Things happen. People are saved. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're made into the image of God and they put on Christ. That's what we want. And so how does that happen? And how do these analogies, how do these similes help us to understand what God is doing in the world? Well, there's some things in common. The mustard seed and the leaven are both alive. See, the kingdom of God proceeds from life to life. God's life ignites our life. We get born again and we become alive. We go and we share with someone else and they receive the gospel and they become spiritually alive. They go from death to life. So God's kingdom starts with one life, the life of Jesus Christ, and then spreads to many other lives, the disciples, the 120 at Pentecost, the 3,000 after Pentecost are getting baptized and so on, thousands being added. So the kingdom of God is alive. It's a growing organic thing, just like a mustard tree and just like leaven. So the kingdom of God is organic. It's alive. It's not a dead thing. It's not like a big concrete bridge built across a river. Nothing wrong with bridges, but the kingdom of God is alive. It's a great thing that is like a huge tree after 2,000 years. It's a thing that started small with one seed that died. That's the grain of wheat that goes into the earth. That is Jesus dying on the cross, and it goes into the earth, and then it produces more and more and more and more. So the kingdom of God is living. The next thing we see in both examples is the kingdom of God starts small. It's the leaven, the invisible thing that's mixed in with all the thing you can see, the big lump of yeast, a big lump of meal, 3 measures of meal, and it gradually influences the whole thing. And same with the mustard seed. Mustard seed is the smallest of all the common herbs that are planted in the garden. I don't think it's the smallest seed in all of botany, but it's the smallest seed commonly used in farming, and people would plant the mustard tree. Now, there's something unique about the mustard tree. It was considered a bit of a pest in the days of Israel, and there was a rabbinical law that it wasn't allowed to be planted next to the edge of someone else's field. Why is that? Because the seeds would go everywhere, and each seed would start a new mustard tree, and the mustard tree would grow up, and its seeds would go everywhere, and it could soon take over an entire farm. It was a pest. It could take over your farm. It could take over the land. And no one wanted a mustard tree on the borders of their property because soon they'd be pulling up the trees, pulling up the weeds, etc. Now, here in Virginia, we have oak trees and they scatter acorns everywhere. And the acorns pop up. And now one of the jobs I have to do this weekend is to pull up tiny little oak trees that have decided to grow in my wife's vegetable garden. So where she wants to grow tomatoes and potatoes and things, they're all full of little oak trees that are 6 or 8 inches high that got their go on during winter when the acorns fell into the soil of the garden bed. Now we've got to rip out all the little oak trees and plant the plants that my wife wants planted. Well, that's what mustard seeds were like. They would get into every nook and cranny of the garden and take it over and become a pest. So how is the kingdom of God a pest? No, the kingdom of God starts small and multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. So the yeast multiplies in the meal, in the bread, and it influences it. And the mustard trees, the mustard seeds, multiply and take over things. So it starts small and it multiplies. And it has great influence. That's the way it is. And it's living. So let's go over those points again. The kingdom of God is living. It starts small. It multiplies. And it has great influence. So you can find that there are times when some prayer meeting has turned into a revival, like the famous Haystack prayer meeting that happened here in the United States in the 1800s. And it sparked the Great Awakening. And soon after that prayer meeting with 4 young men, it turned into a revival that started another revival and so on and so forth. And the whole country was influenced, starting with that little mustard seed prayer meeting. You never know how a Bible study is going to turn out. You never know when God's going to turn up and influence things and suddenly pull someone out of somewhere that's totally obscure. And then that person passes the gospel on to another person, and another person and another person. Let's use an example from the Bible. I think you've probably heard of the Ethiopian eunuch, and that's in Acts chapter 8. Philip's pulled out of this great big revival by the Holy Ghost. He's sent down to this desert road, and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, who's a high official, a treasurer of the Queen Candace of Ethiopia, and here's a mustard seed moment. So he meets the Ethiopian eunuch and shares the gospel and baptizes him, and he goes back to Ethiopia, and he starts what is now the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. He starts a church that is still going today because he was a mustard seed of the gospel. He had faith, he believed the gospel, and he went back. And in another way, also, he was leaving because he went back and he was mixed into the life of the court of Queen Candace. He was mixed into the life of the royal family. Now, he's a eunuch. He couldn't multiply physically. He didn't have that ability anymore, but he was a high-ranking official. And instead of having physical children, he had spiritual children. And those children started a great work of God in the nation of Ethiopia. It started small, it became alive, it multiplied, and it influenced an entire nation. So that's what we find how the kingdom of God works. And when we look at our own ministries, you should not be dissatisfied if your ministry seems small. My ministry, Cyber Missions, is very, very tiny by American standards. I'm recording this in the basement of my house. We don't have an office. We don't have a Cyber Missions car. I just have my personal car. We don't have a great travel agenda. We don't have much in the way of money at all. And my salary is small. But God is not limited by these things. God can still do signs and wonders. God can still take this sermon to the ends of the earth. God can still, by faith, influence many nations. And one of the things we do is we start Bible colleges using a harvest time curriculum. And that curriculum has gone all around the world, and people are constantly starting new Bible colleges using the material we send them. And so we don't have a big Bible college of our own here in America, but through the grace of God and through distribution of this curriculum, we are a mustard seed. We're a bit of a leaven mixed in and doing our job. Now, I'm not boasting that. I'm not saying that God has specially favored Cyber Missions, but we are a small mustard seed ministry, and that's what God is doing with us. And I don't want you to be discouraged if you've got a small church. God can find some way of using you for the glory of God. If you think you're the tiniest church in the world, don't forget that the mustard seed was the tiniest of all the common agricultural seeds. So do not give up. Do not be disheartened by this. What's the important thing is that you are spiritually alive. Because when you're spiritually alive and you reproduce spiritually, then you see fruit for the kingdom of God. You need to be spiritually alive first of all. And then from your life will flow influence, just as the life of Jesus, of course, has influenced many people, the life of Paul, the life of Peter. Life communicates to life. You must be spiritually alive and not spiritually dead. You must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You must praise the Lord. You must give thanksgiving to Him. And then you will see the great power of God moving through you to the world. And you must not give in to the systems of this world that will suck the life out of you and make you mechanical. So you're just doing mechanically doing this and mechanically doing that, and you've got someone in, an accountant, a lawyer, and this and that. And soon it's just like any other worldly system. You must surrender to the plans and purposes of God for you and for your ministry, and you must accept what He has for you. And if what He has for you is, in a sense, a death, you have to be like a mustard seed that dies in the soil, not that you die physically, but you think you're going to become totally insignificant. You are not. If you're alive, you will never be totally insignificant, because the life of God will move through you and you'll come up out of that soil as a new plant, as a new way of doing things. So God wants to use you, but you have to get a hold of the kingdom way of doing things. So let's look at the parable of the leaven for a second here. Here we say the leaven, that is the yeast, is mixed in with the measures of meal. It's mixed in with the dough, and it causes the dough to rise and the bread to become nice and soft and have full aeration in it. So the yeast in this case is used positively, not negatively. Often in the Bible, it's used in a negative sense to mean sin. But here we're talking about faith. Faith, people who are alive and full of faith, they influence everyone and everything around them. That's what the kingdom of God is like. We also, the mustard seed symbolizes faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll be able to speak to this mountain and say, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will happen for you. So we have mustard seed faith, we have leaven faith, and we're mixed in with the world. We're going to influence everything around us because we are believers. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the gospel. We have the Holy Spirit on our side. We have God on our side. We have the angels on our side. And when you believe that heaven is on your side, you can move mountains, move spiritual mountains out of the way. You can move all those things that obstruct the gospel out of the way through your faith and your declaration of your faith and the declaration of the gospel. So you look at your community and you say, how can I influence my community? Even though I am only one person, how can I be mixed into my community and do that? Well, go and meet the mayor of your city. Go and meet the businessman in your city. Find and say to the Lord, where is the man or woman of peace that I can meet with? Where's the man of peace that I can meet with who is influential in this city? And when I share with that person, when I share the gospel with them, they're going to accept the gospel and tell their influential friends about it. So let me go through that question again. When you go out with the gospel, say, where is the man or woman or household of peace that I can lead to Christ? And when those influential people are led to Christ, then they will influence their entire community. Don't start with the people at the bottom of the community, though they may be crying out for the gospel. Start with the leaders of the community, the men and women of peace who have large households and servants, but are still desperate for salvation. Because then they will give respect and honor to the gospel. People will say, oh, so-and-so's got saved in his whole household, and just like the Philippian jailer. He was a respectable person in his community. He had servants, he had this, he had that. He was saved, and he and his whole household got saved, and soon there was a good church in Philippi as a result. And also we find that Lydia was saved, and she was a person who was respectable, a trader in purple cloth. So that church started off on a good foundation. That church started with people who were solid and who were respected in their community, and people felt good about joining that church. They felt it was socially acceptable to join that church. And so the Church of the Philippians became one of the most solid and well-formed church in the New Testament, and one of the churches with the least problems, because that church was planted in the houses of men and women of peace who were able to open up their houses and have house churches there, and it soon prospered and blossomed. And we know that Luke and Paul were often refreshed by the church at Philippi. So what you want to do is, when you're going out, you want a church plant, you want to find the men and women of peace who can receive the gospel and then multiply the gospel, because they have the status and resources to be a part of this great movement of the Lord that you're going to generate. So you want to have life, you want to pass your life along, and you want to have this influence over your society. You want to be mixed in with the society around you. And to do that, you have to be a little bit strategic and ask, God, who do you want me to influence first? Ask that question to the Lord. Lord, who do you want me to influence first? So that helps you to be mixed in with the society around you and bring the gospel to the people that you most want to bring it to. Now, as the mustard seed and the leaven, they're not kept separate. They're not kept in a jar on a shelf. Where the salt has to get out of the salt shaker and into the meat to preserve the meat. The mustard seed has to get in the soil. And if we're to be the light, we're not to be hidden under a bushel, we're to be put on a lampstand. We have to go and get out into the community where we can influence it. If we just stay in a Bible study group and we don't go anywhere near the community, we just stay to ourselves as Christians, then we're not going to influence the world. The light will be hid under a bushel of our own little group. The salt will be still in the salt shaker and not in the world where it needs to be. It will lose its savour. And the mustard seed will stay in a jar of mustard seeds and never propagate. And the leaven will never mix with the surrounding society and leaven it. We have to get out of our holy huddle. We have to get out of our church and our Bible studies and start meeting with ordinary, everyday people so they can be blessed. So how do we do that? One of the ways we do that is we pray for the sick. There's a lot of sick people out there, and most of them will take prayer. And so we go out to the hurting world that's sick and demon-possessed and all the rest, and we say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed. And we practice healing, and we keep praying for people. And then someone is spectacularly healed. I heard a testimony today of a young lady that was incredibly demon-possessed and violent, and she was impossible. She had to be restrained hand and foot and tied up. And she was being brought to this pastor to see if she could be delivered. And before she could get to the pastor, she hung herself in her room. And people rushed in and they chopped her down and they thought she was dead. But they prayed over her. She was revived. They brought her to the pastor. The demons were cast out. She is alive. She is well. She is delivered. She no longer needs to be bound hand and foot. And this was somewhere in Africa. I've forgotten the location. But it was somewhere in Africa. I might have been Kenya. And this girl was completely delivered. And there's a photograph on Facebook of her saved, delivered, and in her right mind, no longer violent and no longer having to be restrained and tied down. And she is safe. She's not suicidal anymore. All has gone well. Now, when something like that happens, when you pray for the sick or you cast out demons, you've suddenly got credibility. You've gone out into the world. You've solved a problem. You've solved a real problem in real time. You've healed the person with leprosy. You've opened the ears of the deaf. You've cast out demons of those who are afflicted. And people are ready to listen to you. And that's what Jesus says. Go out, heal the sick, cast out demons, and preach the kingdom of God. So as you're going out into a hurting world, a world in which you're going to bring the life of Jesus Christ, a world where you're going to be a mustard seed of faith in an unbelieving world, that one of the best ways you can preach the gospel is through healing and through deliverance and through showing people that God truly cares for them. And you feed the hungry and house the orphans and do things like that. And people will say, these people are different. They care about us and God shines through them. God shines through them because of their love for us who are unbelievers. God's love shines through them to those who come out to the sick and the hurting and those with HIV/AIDS and prays for them and sees them healed, sees them delivered, sees the demons come out of their face and their eyes. And suddenly the minds of people are made normal. And that is the kingdom of God. You're a small person in the eyes of the world. You're an insignificant person in the eyes of the world. You're just a mustard seed. You're just a piece of leaven. But as you walk and you talk, you're starting to change lives. You're starting to get mixed in with the people around you. Don't just stay in your church group. Don't stay like salt in the salt shaker. Go out to a hurting world and start having a solution to their problems through prayer, through healing, through deliverance, through your kindness and your personality towards them. Show them the grace of God, then preach about Jesus and show them the way of salvation. Don't just go beating them over the head about their sin. Show them you've got something to offer first, just like Jesus and the apostles did, or like Paul did when he went out and he healed someone who was a lame man and the people wanted to worship him and they said, no, here, listen to the kingdom of God. Listen to the story of Jesus who went around healing all and delivering those who were oppressed by the devil. So let's go over those points again about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is alive. It's alive with faith. And the mustard seed's a symbol of faith. We are alive because we have faith in Jesus Christ. We have living faith. We have transformational faith. We're going forth in great faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's alive and it's alive with faith. And the kingdom of God starts small. It starts as a tiny mustard seed or a bit of leaven. It starts small. It is not grand. It is not pompous. It does not arrive with hundreds of people and lots of money and big buildings. It arrives where there is living faith. And living faith generates life in other people. Life leads to life. It starts small, but it grows. It influences. It takes over the field like the mustard tree plant did. It takes over all the meal that takes over the bread, just like the leaven did. It starts small, it moves by faith, it grows, and it grows into something that changes the world. The kingdom of God changes the world. The kingdom of God influences everything around it because it's backed by the power of God, by the power of heaven, by the power of faith, by the power of angels. The kingdom of God is living and the world is dead and it's in debt in trespasses and sins. So how do you bring the kingdom of God to people? You get out of your salt shaker. You get out of just your church building. Don't say, come to church, come to church. Go out there and mix with people who need the gospel and solve their problems. Find the man or woman of peace. Find the first person that you want to influence. Pray for them. Bring them up out of their wheelchair. Heal their leg. Heal their problem. Heal a thing that's going wrong in their family. And when God leads you to that person, he'll lead you to another person. Follow the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will direct your ministry just as he did with the ministry of Peter, the ministry of Paul, the ministry of Stephen, the ministry of Philip. Have a Spirit-led ministry that is full of faith, full of zeal, and where you see healing, where you see deliverance. And don't worry about the size of it when you start out. Don't worry that you don't have a lot of money, a lot of power, a lot of social status. Know that you are a living thing. You're a living part of God's kingdom, and life will generate life. Have confidence in the Holy Spirit. Have confidence in the power of the gospel. Have confidence in the power of God's living word, which equips you and is true. And have confidence in the power of the promises of God and the fact that God is faithful and God can use you to change the world. You're not too small. God can use you like a mustard seed to change the world, because that's what the kingdom of God does. God takes the most insignificant of people and turns them into country-transforming people. People who can go around and share the gospel even with great leaders around the world. And I have a friend who does that. In material terms, he is small. But in influence terms, he is big. And he has spoken to many heads of state over the years. So God be with you. God give confidence, strength, and courage to you as you go out to share the gospel. Remember the mustard seed. Remember the leaven. Be hidden. Be secret. Be the influence that is of God and not of man. Don't seek to big note yourself. Don't seek to make yourself grand with flying around in airplanes or stuff like this. Follow the Lord's leading in all things. Follow the Holy Spirit. Stay pure. Stay full of faith. And change the world for Jesus. This is Pastor John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.